they allowed me to get up here and I don't know if they wanted me to teach, preach, give commentary or what, but. Good, good. That's what I needed. Funny, we were pulling in here and it really hit me. Lisa, if y'all don't know her like I do, but she tells me what to wear, what to eat, what to, like everything. She does it to Mason and Allie too. Allie not so much because she's an Elkins. But pulling in here, I was like, you haven't even asked me what I'm talking about. And she's like, well, you got it. And I'm like, what? She said, 5 years ago, I'd have said, no, wait, what are you going to say? But she has pretty much no idea what I'm going to talk about. But following along in this study guide that we've had, the next section was 1 Corinthians. We're going to start on 12. We're only going to make it through 12 and 13. Trying to figure out how much time this will take up. You might have a lot of time to socialize afterwards, or you might not have any. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But we're going to start with the title of, I asked Bob Weibel if he had a legal pad I could borrow, and he brought me one, and it says, this pad has been, if y'all know Bob, he has a very fun sense of humor. This pad has been repurposed from the genius legal stylings of Bob Weibel for the theological revelations of Tim Miller. But anyway, I don't know how much revelation you'll get, but not from me, but Holy Spirit. But before we jump into 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, I just realized, Stephen, it's hard to wear my glasses with this thing. Just give me a second. I'll get it figured out. Technical difficulty. Yeah. Yeah.
I might need a double ear.
How do y'all wear glasses with these things? Give me a second. Put this thing on mute so y'all don't hear me yell at the microphone. All right, how's that? Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, before we dive into Paul writing to Corinthians, gifts of the Holy Spirit, unity with the church and the church body that we're going to dive into, and then 13, the greatest gift from the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about. But we want to introduce you what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit. We're going to start with, if my notes are in order, John 14, 16 through 17. And I'm reading from New King James Version. Sorry if that doesn't match your ESV or KJV or NIV or that's where we're going to start. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. And then we're going to jump to John 14, 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said. In John 15, 26. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Jesus is saying this. You don't have to jump around in your Bible. I hear pages, and I'm probably going way too fast. But I wanted to give a good introduction because the Holy Spirit's one of the least spoke about persons of the Trinity in the Bible. So we're going to make sure we got a good start on that. My mouth's real dry, so I'll be taking sips of water to fix that and to stall if I need to. So John 16, 7 to 11. Hey, Bob, I didn't realize you were here. I I wouldn't have threw you. Did you hear me throw you under the bus a little bit ago?
No.
Oh, good. No problem. It's good. John 16:7-11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. John 16:13-14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, because he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And we're going to switch to Luke 11:11-13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or will he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And Galatians 5:22-23, which you should all know this. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It's available from, because the Holy Spirit is indwells in you as a Christian. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that gives us our starting point. So we know that the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. We know that Jesus tells his disciples it's better that he goes away, which sounds really weird. Why would he say that? Theological argument, I get, because Jesus, as 100% human, was here in the flesh. And when he went to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost and can be everywhere, omnipresent, and with us all, indwell. John 16:8, he will convict the world of sin. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. John 16:13, Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, speaking not on his own authority. Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, revealing his truth. Luke 11:13, he'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, as we just read. So that being said, we have this foundation, the Holy Spirit indwelling you and I as Christians, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, we can talk about that here near the end. But if you're a Christian, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And we can look in many verses that talk about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Somewhere in these many pages of notes. Actually, it's only about four. Yeah, you'll just have to take my word for it. There's plenty of Ephesians comes to mind, and I can't. Did I say that? I pronounce that right? They always get on to me for the way I say Ephesians. I don't know what the proper pronunciation, but the Bible talks about being sealed by the Holy Spirit as a Christian. Multiple times in Ephesians it does, Paul does. So we are sealed, and that seal is unbreakable. So we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit at salvation, correct? Yes. So as we think about what the Holy Spirit is and how he works in our life, comforter, teacher, he'll convict us, he'll tell us things to come. Glorify Jesus is his role. He's going to glorify Jesus in our lives. And God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. I really love that verse. If you're a parent and your child asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a stone or a serpent or what have you. If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he'll gladly give you. So I encourage you to do that. We get weird sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, because apparently it's been abused in the past. And make no mistake, the Holy Spirit is here with us to glorify Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity and nothing we should be weirded out by. But 1 Corinthians 12, spiritual gifts. I better slow down. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And all this will tie in at the end, kind of like when I was doing this, these notes and putting it over here, I'm thinking like Justin always saying, land in the plane. It'll all tie in here just a little bit. Just follow along. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I will make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say to that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries. So we're talking gifts and ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, the same God who works in them all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different types of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. The highlight that I want to point out there's a few highlights there. So the Holy these are gifts of the Spirit. And we can get into all kinds of theological discussions. That's not the main point that I'm going to land or bring this together in the end. But the point is that we're all individuals. Luke is obviously blessed to preach. After tonight, you all may think he is not me. Okay, but bear with me. Diversities of gifts, same Spirit, ministries, activities, wisdom, knowledge, faith, miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation. The key here is that the Holy Spirit will distribute gifts to you individually as he wills. It's not up to us. We don't get to heal people just because we want to. We can pray for them. We don't heal them anyway. But,
does threatening count? Because I'm going to pray.
I don't think that's where discerning of spirits would come in, and I don't think that's Holy Spirit. Again,
in a
loving way. Still not sure that's.
Yeah, it's just a loving aspect.
So we've done that. Now he jumps in 1 Corinthians 12. Then he immediately goes in after that. And one thing I forgot to tell you: 1 Corinthians starts out, he starts it out as now concerning. And some people you read think that there may have been another Corinthians somewhere along the line, and this is Paul answering their questions, because the way he starts out, now concerning this, now concerning that. So the church that may have had some issues asking him questions. After these gifts of the Spirit, he jumps into what my Bible titles unity and diversity. So we're going to read now the rest of verse 12 through 31. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Is it therefore not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Highlight number 18. But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. Whatever your station in life or station in this church, that you can serve this church, he's given you that ability to do it. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. Rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable are honorable. On those are bestowed greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, 27, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But, this is Paul, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. That's coming up in chapter 13 that we'll get to. Before we get to 13, something that I just want to point out. My water's all over the place. I need a flat desk. That's not what I wanted to point out. Anyway. when we as Christians, I'll say me, because me as a Christian, before 2023, maybe before then, anyone that's heard me talk or heard anything about me, very quiet church, Baptist church in Boone County, West Virginia, wasn't a lot of worship visually, I say that with an asterisk. See, I grew up really in a calm environment in a church. Like, the preacher would call you out. It's like if I was acting up, he would call you up from the pulpit, and then I would get beat when I got home. Not beat, not like bad beat, but beat enough. But Mary and Lisa, she liked loud churches, and that was really weird to me. I didn't know if it was going to work out for a while, but... We tried different churches, and some I would like, some she wouldn't, which the louder ones she would like, the quieter ones I would like. But we settled a few different places for a while. Been here since, what, about 20? Huh? Yeah, somewhere in there. And thank God, I mean, COVID brought us here because the church we were at wasn't having services, and this was a mile away from the house. It's like, there, let's go there. That's not in my notes. I should get that. But from 23, when I tell people this, and I try to really keep personal testimony out of doing this, but heck, I mean, I got to go with what I've experienced. In 23, I learned that the best I can define it is that I was what I call a cerebral Christian. I've told some of you people out here. And it was just logical to me. Yes, I believe God's word. I believe Jesus died for my sins. He rose 3 days later. He's with the Father right now. I believe the Holy Spirit indwells me. To me, that's what I believed, and wasn't a lot of excitement, if you will, from an outward perspective. But in 2023, I started praying more and reading the Bible more due to various health issues, and I got to really experience some moments that I won't go into here, but no, I wasn't, you know, doing this list of gifts, but it was nothing but the Holy Spirit's power that enabled me to function, and never really experiencing that because I didn't have that physical or mental need, because really I lived a really cakewalk life until 2023. I mean, simply as that. But when you're in the valley, you better hope that you pray. You better hope that the Holy Spirit empowers you. That's a gift Jesus asked the Father to send us. Understand, you have it if you're a Christian. So on that note, where I was kind of, and I understand what I'm getting ready to read to you. I'm getting ready to read a little excerpt from a Lee Strobel book. He was interviewing for a pastor or some staff position for a church. And Lee Strobel, if you don't know, was an atheist he grew up in church, became an atheist. Am I speaking loud enough, Lisa? Okay, she told me to make sure I don't mumble. I have squirrel moments too, okay? But he had grown up in a church, apparently. He became an atheist because he was too smart for church. And he went and his wife became a Christian, and he wanted to disprove her. Went through this whole research project to disprove Christ, and he wrote Case for Christ. But in his research, he logically came to the conclusion that, oh, I'm wrong. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on a cross and rose 3 days later and now sits at the right hand of God. But this book here is Case for Miracles that Allie has read at the beach, apparently, and it's all marked up. She marks up everything. Don't lend her a book unless you want it back marked up. But he tells a little story here about his interview and about how we shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit, or because we don't want to overshadow Jesus, and I understand that. And that's, the Holy Spirit doesn't overshadow Jesus. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. That's the whole point. But let me read you this little part. The request was simple. Tell us about your journey to faith. I was in a conference room surrounded by my pastor, several of the church's elders, a college professor of theology, being interviewed for ordination as a minister of the gospel. I had left my journalism career, taking a 60% pay cut, and joined the staff of a large congregation in suburban Chicago. Being ordained was the next step. I had no hesitation in sharing the story of how I went from being an atheistic journalist in the Chicago Tribune to becoming a committed follower of Jesus. I knew my account of how I used my journalism and legal training to investigate the scientific and historical evidence for Christianity would resonate with everyone in the room. After all, this was a church filled with successful people living in upscale suburbia, thinkers, achievers, leaders, influencers. They would certainly relate to how God used logic and reason to lead me to conclude that the resurrection is an actual historical event that proved Jesus is the unique Son of God. But I was wrestling with how much I should tell about the rest of my story. For example, should I mention the influential dream that I described in the chapter on dreams and visions, in which an angel appeared to me when I was a youngster and gave me a prophecy? It came true 16 years later. How would they react if I described something supernatural like that? A seemingly bizarre event that went beyond normal reason and evidence. Of course, everyone in the room believed in a miracle-working God. Each one of them would affirm that God is sovereign and can intervene at any time to make his presence known and achieve his purpose. Still, would they think less of me if I began chattering about dreams and angels and personal prophecies? Would that be a step too far? Would mouths fall open if I made the claim that my dream was an actual encounter with a messenger from the Almighty? Where is the line between sheer irrationality and a reasonable belief that God has intervened miraculously in my life? In the end, I did tell them about the dream with the angel, and they weren't shocked or disturbed by it. My ordination was confirmed without controversy. Nevertheless, I've always remembered the discomfort I felt in deciding whether to share that part of my story. In fact, to this day, I almost never refer to the dream in public settings. That's why my interest was piqued by a theologian's blog post titled "Embarrassed by the Supernatural." Without even reading it, I could relate to the sense that in 21st century America, even Christians like myself often hesitate to talk openly about divine interventions in our life. I, of course, had to go back and see what his dream was about, but That was my other bookmark, but I won't get into that. Basically, his dream was, they told him, his dream he had, and the angel was like, "Are you saved?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And he said, "How do you know?" He said, I'm a good kid. I go to church." And then he became an atheist, and later he did get saved, and because the angel told him, he said, "Well, you will be, but you're not now." That goes back, when you hear things like that, I'll just preface that. You have to be discerning, and I understand that may be why some people shy away from the Holy Spirit. You have to be discerning. Spiritual warfare is real. If we could see the spiritual warfare that went on, I don't think any of it, we would all be cowered in the corner somewhere.
Sure.
But in part of that book, he gives examples of miracles happening in the Islamic world. And I think Luke's even mentioned this about some Chinese people that were actually became Christians, made decisions to follow Christ based on dreams they had. So the Lord's still sovereign and will work miracles as he pleases. So when I get into that, we as the church, and I mean globally, when I talked about Lisa, how she liked loud churches, I like quiet churches. If you think of I was going to draw this for you, but I think you can figure it out. If you have a spider web center, it gets farther and farther out. Talked earlier today about this to a degree. The center of the spider web, think of that. Not used to that. If you think of the center of the spider web, your core beliefs, the gospel message, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we can't debate those. You know, if someone doesn't agree with that, then they're not a church that we would call a church. But the reason I'm going over this with spiritual gifts is because some people are, and it's not really as much gifts as the way someone worships. I've seen posts from pastors that look like they spend more time complaining about another church's lighting or what have you. And I used to be that type. And then it hit me, and the Lord's like, "They're not worshiping you." And I was like, "You're right, they're not." But since 2023 till now, I've got to go to some of these churches, just visiting. I got friends, I got pastors, they've prayed for me and done this and that. And some of them were kind of odd to me, you know, not really what I would go to on a regular basis. Maybe not Lisa, she might like those a little better. But as we get, when we talk about unity and everyone having different gifts and being a part of the body of Christ, it's not just the local church. It starts here, but it extends out from there. We want to get our theology as correctly as possible, which we think we have. As Southern Baptists, that we don't. It's very broad. If you ever read the Baptist Faith and Message, it's pretty broad. It leaves room for a little leeway here and there. So we pray, we work together, work as leadership, trying to get it as right as we can. We have to have the core, and that's the gospel message. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today's a good day. I say that anytime they let me up here, and I'll always say that as long as they let me up here. So my point in that is, when we talk about gifts, whether it's teaching, faith, whatever, pray for all these other churches also. Because if they're seeing souls saved, if they're seeing souls changed for eternity, and they don't do communion like we do, who cares? Pray for them. Don't take to social media maybe and put them down. That kind of gives people the wrong idea. Now, if they're preaching a false gospel, by all means, go after them, attack them all you want. But if the core's right, don't worry about that stuff way out here. That's my commentary part. That's not, I don't see anything in there besides that they're preaching a false gospel. Go after them. That, and don't shy away from the person of the Holy Spirit in general, just because you prefer certain types of worship, if other churches are too quiet, too loud, too emotional, too stoic, on and on and on. Pray for them and hope that they pray for us, because our main goal is to seek the kingdom first. That's the first goal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. We have to seek the kingdom first. And that's why when I read about 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 is we're quickly going to get into, but the one body part, we have to be as unified as possible without bending our core convictions, the center, because we need a revival. We've been praying for revival and leadership in this church and as a church on whole. I know other churches are praying for revival. We're seeing stuff happen in this world that it looks like some folks are coming to Christ. So we'll keep doing that. And sure, we're going to butt heads on things. Heck, we butt heads on things in the church. But I mean, not to break fellowship, but you know, I may not agree with you, Cassie, on when we should have communion.
I'm sorry, you're wrong.
As long as we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're okay. So how do we do this? How do we have this, how do we have the Holy Spirit in our lives and have this unity as best we can with the global church? Well, we don't put a limitation on God. The Holy Spirit resides in you, and he will manifest himself in you as his will pleases and for the profit of all. But he's given us another gift, the greatest gift, chapter 13. I'm going to read 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we will prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I love that. Then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest is love. So the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is love. Without love, the other gifts are nothing and offer no profit at all. While all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit are temporary and necessary for a Christian, love endures forever. Love reflects God's nature that we get to enjoy forever. We'll no longer need the earthly gifts of the Spirit when we are in the presence of Jesus. I mean, we don't need to worry about miracles and healing when we're in the presence of Jesus. Sunday, Luke gave a fantastic truth of Scripture. Make Jesus your first love when he was preaching from Luke can't remember off the top of my head, but it was talking about hating your family, which explaining that if you love Jesus first. Jesus is your first love, the most important love, then we can best love each other. So, in summary, if I butchered all this, that's y'all's fault for letting me up here. In summary, don't put God in a box. He can and will do what he pleases, even if it makes you uncomfortable. If you don't think I'm uncomfortable being up here, actually it's kind of fun, but 4 years ago, I couldn't have talked up here. I mean, I wouldn't have got two words out because I would feel like a bumbling idiot. Hopefully y'all don't think that, but if you do, oh well. Two, embrace the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus provided for us because of his work on the cross. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, Romans 8:11. Act like it. Do we act every day like the same power that lives in us raised Jesus from the dead? I don't. I should. Use your gifts that he gives or he gave you to serve him. We are members of one body. If you are not using your gifts for the kingdom, then start today. Above all else, love. Any questions before I close? Anyone else? All right, because y'all let me up here, and I've told the leadership here, as long as they let me up here. if you're wondering what I've been talking about this whole time and realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, then today you can repent, turn away from your sins, ask Jesus, God's only begotten Son, to forgive you, believe that Jesus died and suffered for your individual sins and was raised from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, then I invite you to make that decision today. Looky there. Y'all have time to fellowship. Come and see me or come and see someone in this church if you have any needs that need met tonight. We can pray with you. We'd be more than happy to. I'm going to pray us out, and then y'all be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to get up here and teach a little bit. Lord, I pray that something was said that someone can take out, me or anyone else, and use for your glory every day that we encounter people. Lord, keep our eyes open to people in need. Let our light shine for you. Let us serve you. Our plea is let us serve you. Let us seek your kingdom first. Let us share the gospel. Let us disciple those among us. In Jesus' name, amen.